Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Now, just before Christmas, ministers signed off on the Climate Action Plan 2023, the first of the annual plans to be agreed since the introduction of legally binding carbon budgets and sectoral limits during the summer. So the pressure is on now for the government to put those promises into action this year. Experts and opposition politicians demand an end to missed climate targets. To discuss this, I'm joined by Pauline O'Reilly, Green Party Senator, and Darren O'Rourke, Sinn Féin climate spokesman and TD for Meath East. Both very welcome. Thank you for joining us on the programme this morning. Pauline, I'll start with you. The release of the plan, it received what could be described as a lukewarm response from some, sceptical that we can make the targets that are in there. Though critics have been saying the plan is meaningless unless we deliver, and we haven't been delivering so far. What do you say?
Well, I would say that that many people have actually said that it is a good plan, but that action is absolutely what's needed. And if you even look over the last year, we have doubled the number of passengers on public transport. That's 100,000 extra kilometres taken by public transport in 2022 alone. We have 67 new towns which are linked up with by public transport, and we have seven marine area consents just before Christmas signed, and that those planning for that offshore development will be happening over the next year. And actually, Ireland, over the last couple of years, is the third highest when it comes to onshore wind development in the world. So it's not a case that we're starting from a standing still position. A significant amount has been achieved, and we must now be absolutely relentlessly focused on achieving all of our targets. And that much is completely clear, and we're agreed on that.
And what about the retrofitting targets?
The retrofitting targets have been exceeded. So the target was 26,940, and actually we achieved 27,713. And we expect this year to again blow the target of 37,000 and to have more than that.
And do you think those targets are right? Because we need 500,000 houses done by 2030, just 7 years away. So it doesn't add up if we're looking at around 30,000 a year in terms of targets.
By 2025, we will have increased that to 75,000 per annum. But obviously, what was really needed was small businesses in particular to have that kind of security, to know that the grants are there, that there's 8 billion now in place of grants up to 2030, and that people can ramp up their businesses. And there's no doubt but that demand outstrips supply at the moment, no doubt at all. But we've increased that supply even by the end of last year to 400 homes a month. So it is ramping up.
Okay, Darren, on the retrofitting targets, and indeed on the areas where we've made progress on so far, do you think the government is going the right way about it so far?
Absolutely not. And I think we have to look at those retrofitting targets as an example. So Pauline says they did 27,713 retrofits, but actually the target is for 500,000 B2 by 2030.
But she's just explained there that it's going to ramp up as we go through the years.
Just to be very clear in relation to this, they've conducted 27,713 retrofits. They are not B2s. Only about 7,500 are B2s. So
You're saying that 10,000, Pauline, of the 27 are B2s.
The target was 8,400 for 2022, and we achieved 9,413. And then warmer homes, which is key part of this, warmer homes being those who are most vulnerable, that was also a significant part of the target.
And how many of those were B2s?
The target was 4,800 for retrofits,
but only a tiny fraction of those are actually B2s. And that's the measure here, I think, that people need to be aware of, because there's lots of figures thrown about by the Green Party and by the Minister in particular of the retrofit targets. But in fact, what we have is a scheme that is severely backloaded. So Pauline mentioned 8 billion euro investment. 5 billion of that 8 billion euros is going to be delivered in the years 28, 29 and 30. So for the years between now and 2028, small numbers of that overall will be delivered. And disproportionately, it will be people who have access to means. So it's people who can avail of the one-stop shop, who can avail, who can afford €25,000, and very significantly, a significant proportion of those B2s that are being delivered, the 10,000 that Pauline has referenced there, are simply done by adding 8 solar panels onto your roof. So it's not lifting people out of energy poverty. It's not lifting people out of fuel poverty.
Okay, but your own party has resisted taking a clear position when it comes to putting a figure on a target for emissions reduction. Why?
Well, we've been very clear in relation to our approach in relation to climate. We've said we've supported government in the Climate Action Plan. I don't think that should be, or in the Climate Bill, I don't think that should be taken for granted. That's the target of 51% by 2030. And I have to say, some of Pauline's colleagues in government argued against having an interim target of 51% by 2030. That's really, really important.
But the Action Plan, what do you say about the Action Plan?
The Action Plan is the wrong plan. It's not working. It's not delivering for people, and it's not delivering emissions reductions. So we've had repeated climate action plans. We've had increases in carbon taxes, and every time they have delivered increased emissions. So we need a different approach.
You've been accused of being climate laggards.
No, absolutely not. In fact, I can point to a very comprehensive track record in relation to we're the party that opposed fracking. We're the party that called 7 years ago for a microgeneration scheme. It's still not in place. People are still not getting paid for their solar energy. We're the party that argued for an 80% renewables target by 2030 before any other party. We supported the Climate Action Bill. We delivered the Climate Action Bill in the North. And we've set out very comprehensive policy in terms of a vision for renewable energy in the last 12 months.
Okay, so you are in favour of climate action. Do you accept that, Pauline? Because you accuse them of being climate laggards. They say they want to act on climate, but you're going the wrong way about it.
Look, it's very easy to say that you're against fracking when actually the majority of parties in Ireland are. The majority of parties in Ireland are in favour of all of the things that Darren says. But this is about action. And, you know, they consistently say they're against carbon tax, and yet every year in their alternative budget, they spend the carbon tax. So their figures don't add up. They can't get their story straight. And they wanted to put in place an energy price cap, which is a Tory approach, which actually saw Liz Truss lose her job. And that would have actually put a maximum of €500 back in people's pockets, whereas this government put €600 back in people's pockets. But quite apart from anything, they had a bill that would have effectively banned all onshore and most offshore development of wind.
It's nonsense.
That is our true future.
It's nonsense.
That is exactly
it's nonsense.
You had a bill, you pulled it last minute because of a backlash.
And Sinn Féin's position has been updated at our Ardesh.
You've updated things, that's great, but you are consistently behind the curve. And, you know,
We're missing targets, Pauline. Every scheme this government has designed is an equitable scheme, whether it's electric vehicles, whether it's retrofitting, it's based on the money that you can pay. People are excluded from these schemes. The Green Party in particular are incredibly divisive in terms of their approach to climate action. It is driving a real wedge between those who have access to money, those who don't, particularly between those in urban and rural Ireland. They see a detachment there from the Green Party and from this government.
What about that point, though, that Pauline made about carbon tax? You're opposed to increases in carbon tax, but when it comes to your alternative budget, you've no problem spending it.
We've set out clearly that we believe the government's approach in relation to climate action is one that's the wrong approach. So they are constantly talking about cliff edges, and not setting out a pathway. What we want to do is set out a pathway. So for example, in terms of public transport, that though we're not increasing carbon tax on people who don't have alternatives, who are completely dependent on their car. We have got an EV scheme that, you know, essentially supports people who do have alternatives in their areas. That we don't see an increase in EVs in rural areas where people are dependent on their
car. So you would support increases in carbon tax if alternatives were in place?
If the time was right in terms
so
of...
So you've changed your policy again on another area.
Let's be clear. What we want to see is alternatives in place for people. So, for example, in public transport, what we did this year, without increasing the carbon tax, we increased investment in retrofitting beyond what the government did. We increased investment in public transport beyond what the government did. So there's an agreed plan in terms of public transport. It's called Connecting Ireland. It was a five-year plan, a 56 million euro plan. All the government invested in it was 5 million euros. Pauline mentioned 67 new towns connected. There were to be far in excess of 67 towns. Phase one over how long, Pauline? It looks like, based on the lack of funding from government, that five-year plan is turning into an eight-year plan. What Sinn Féin would do is turn that five-year plan into a three-year plan. We would also extend the fare reductions that government have committed to. They've committed to fare reductions until the end of next year. Sinn Féin would make them permanent. They would extend those pay reductions to under-18s, cutting fares for under-18s by 50%. A commitment to delivering public transport that is accessible, affordable and available to communities that don't have it. The government have a plan but aren't implementing it, and at the same time they're hiking taxes on those people who don't have a plan.
So Pauline, very simply what he's saying is, can you just put the horse before the cart?
Look, I mean, I'm delighted that he is on board with our fare reductions, because actually that is a
huge... We called for them for years before you ever introduced them.
We've also called for them, Darren. Everybody's calling for things. The point is you have to take action. And that's what we're doing in government. And we've seen 80,000 young adult LEAP cards sold last year. And we have
transport
increased...
Transport emissions have increased.
And we have... That was 2021.
Energy emissions increased.
That was 2021,
electricity
Darren.
Emissions
look,
increased.
The reality is that we are the third best in the world for onshore development, and we have now
developer led. We believe that the government have struck the wrong approach. So we think that our semi-states should be empowered. We set this out in terms of our vision for renewables. We should increase the amount of state ownership. We should increase the amount of community ownership. Of course, there is a role for the private sector, but we see it just this weekend in terms of Caolte and the sale off of the state resources. This is typical Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Green Party politics in terms of selling off our natural resources, not getting a return. And actually, when you take that approach, you fail to deliver the emissions reductions, you fail to get the community buy-in.
Pauline, what do you say to that point on the Caolte land?
I think when it comes to forestry, I mean, we have the largest budget ever now, 1.3 billion into forestry, and that is going to transform Ireland. But it has to be planned and over a large area. So some of it is Caolte, some of it is private farming. And 60% of our land is actually farmers. So that's why we're incentivising farmers to plant small-scale forestry. And some of it is for biodiversity. There has to be a different approach to forestry, which means that we're looking at it for timber, we're looking at it for nature, we're looking at it for forestry cover, for plants and animals and birds. But it doesn't mean one size fits all. But there absolutely is no way of achieving our targets unless we have both private and public working together.
Including foreign investment funds buying Caolte land?
Well, including everything, but as long as it's not overtaking land, and which I don't believe that it is. And I do think that we are going to have to ensure that long term we have that investment, which we have, which is 1.3 billion from the state. And that's going to do the majority of the work, along with farmers, which, as I say, own 60% of the land.
All right.
They have to be incentivised. But on the point about rural Ireland, I think it's really important that we stop these politicians going around and saying that it's the Green Party destroying rural Ireland. We're absolutely not. We're connecting more towns than ever. Well, Darren has just there said that we are failing to bring communities together and we're
absolutely
against
are.
Local communities.
You absolutely are, and you just give the example of Cuiltre.
Tell rural populations that the Green Party are going to destroy rural Ireland?
They tell me that.
Who tells you that?
Farmers. Ordinary communities.
Just one second, Polly.
They see a complete detachment. For example, they see a complete detachment in transport. Where's the public transport? They see it in terms of
rural communities are telling you that people like Pauline, public representatives like Pauline, are going to destroy their communities, their livelihoods.
And what are you doing to say that's incorrect?
What they're saying to us very clearly is they're in a different world, is what they're saying.
And do you agree with
them?
Completely. That the Greens are in a different world.
What they're saying is they're completely detached from the lived experience of ordinary people who don't have access to retrofitting in their homes. They're either a 3-year waiting list or 2.5-year waiting list, or they're excluded.
And are those people who say that right about the Green Party?
Well, fundamentally about this, I would say about this whole government and successive governments in terms of their approach to climate action, what they're failing to do is to meet the reality of people.
Misinformation. Are misleading people.
Every scheme you design, Pauline, is an inequitable one. Every scheme you design is an inequitable one. It's unfair. It's unjust.
So, Pauline, you're saying that Sinn Féin are saying this about the Green Party.
Darren is clearly just saying that now.
No, I didn't. I said communities saying to me very clearly.
Matt
I said communities are saying it to me.
That he is against rewetting.
No, he didn't say that. This misrepresentation of our position yet again. You know as well as I know.
Well, McCarthy did say now, Darren, that the best case scenario is that there are no Green Party TDs elected at the next general election.
Well, every time they've been in government, you could say that from a climate perspective, every time they've been in government, it's never been with Sinn Féin, always with Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil.
Sinn Féin has no climate policies, Darren, none.
I've just set out our suite of climate policies and you have obviously no interest in them. I've read your climate policies from front to back. Communities have lived with your climate policies, and every year you've been in government, there's been an increase in emissions, and our first carbon budget, which is halfway over, will be wiped out in 2023.
Darren O'Rourke and Sinn Féin, we've got to leave it there. Thank you both for joining us, and Pauline O'Reilly, Senator with the Green Party. We'll take a break.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.